Welcome to Healthcare Journey Radio. The mission of Healthcare Journey is to be the most respected, valued, and used virtual multiple sclerosis center for all patients, caregivers, HCPs, and payors, providing the highest quality information and services to best manage diseases, conditions, and symptoms. Find more information on Healthcare Journey at healthcarejourney.com. And now, your host, Christine Granfield.
Hello, everyone. My name is Christine Granfield, and I'm your host for Healthcare Journey Radio. The purpose of this show is to explore a new health and wellness topic each month that might help you manage your multiple sclerosis. And we'll explore all kinds of topics, such as disease-modifying therapies, diets, exercise, acupuncture, massage, spirituality, etc. So if there's a specific topic you're interested in, please let us know, and we'll let you know what to do to contact us at the end of the show. Today's show is going to focus on massage therapy for multiple sclerosis. So we're very excited to introduce our guest, Chris Minella. And Chris is currently the therapy manager for the Andrew C. Carlos Multiple Sclerosis Institute at Shepherd Center in Atlanta, Georgia. And it is ranked by the U.S. News & World Report among the top 10 rehab hospitals in the nation. So we're really thrilled to have her. She is both a licensed physical therapist and has been for over 24 years, and a massage therapist and has been for over 15 years. So thank you so much, Chris, for joining us today to talk about massage for people with MS.
Thank you for having me.
So you've been working as a massage therapist for over 15 years. That's a long time, and so basically around like 2000. What sparked your interest in massage for people with MS, and how did you get involved with this whole area?
Well, massage therapy was a small part of my training as a physical therapist, but I found that my neurological patients had such good responses to treatment that I went back and got a more extensive training. So I've always integrated the two fields. So my specialty, per se, has always been massage for people with neurological issues. I had a lot of physical therapists that were referred to me, and then in 2006 we started to integrate a massage program here at the Shepherd Center. As far as MS involvement, it was just a natural progression of our wellness program, mostly because our goal is to explore long-term options for our clients for especially stress and pain management. So because we had seen positive results in our other populations, such as spinal cord injury, we thought we needed to look at this modality for our MS clients. And that was kind of our impetus to apply for and get the grant from the Massage Foundation. So that's currently going on, and we're looking at fatigue, pain, and spasticity in the MS population for 25 subjects right now.
That's great. So, I didn't know any of that. So for those of us who don't know much about massage, such as myself, what are the benefits? You mentioned quite a lot more than what I was thinking. So what symptoms might it help alleviate and improve for somebody with MS?
So the benefits of massage are similar to that of the general population, but there are truly few randomized controlled studies for the effects of massage. But your general effects are going to be stress reduction. There's some evidence that it can decrease temporarily your blood pressure and your heart rate, decrease muscle tightness and spasticity, increase range of motion. You can get pain reduction, and it also increases your circulation. So we're looking at some of those effects. As far as the effects that you'll feel, you know, those are going to be all over the board, too. So we have some people that say their spasticity decreases for an hour after their massage, and we have some people that say their spasms are decreased for 2 days. So the effects may be similar, but the length of time they experience the effects may be very different depending on the patient.
Okay. And so, thinking about all of your years, you mentioned that you noticed early on that there was improvement with massage. What's the most dramatic improvement? You know, do you see people go from basically just in general? What's the most success story that you've had?
I can think of two areas. Probably the most dramatic effects I've seen are likely improvements in muscle activation and pain reduction. And I can give you an example. For instance, I had several folks who couldn't dorsiflex their foot. That's when you pull your foot up. Mm-hmm. So some people would call this foot drop. But after I worked on their like spastic plantar flexors, they were able to pull their foot up much better right after when they got off the massage table. So it's it's maybe short-lived and it may not be a permanent change, but what you're really doing is you're mechanically manipulating and sending a signal back through the nervous system to the spastic muscles, and when those relax, it allows the opposite muscle to work a little better. So some people would get up and really feel a difference right away. Probably the second most dramatic is pain reduction. So, and again, this isn't every single patient, but you can have a patient have a very painful area, have 9 out of 10 pain, and when they get off the table, they may tell you it's gone or it's a 1 out of 10. So those are probably the most dramatic examples of person with MS really feeling the result.
That's great, because on Healthcare Journey, we get a lot of people coming on trying to figure out how to reduce pain. Pain. So that is that's wonderful to know. So let's say that someone has MS. How would they go about finding someone like you that has experience with MS? Does every masseuse know? Would they have the basic skills to know what needs to be done, or do they really need to seek out somebody with experience with multiple sclerosis?
Well, both. One way to find a massage therapist is to go to amtamassage.org, and that stands for the American Massage Therapy Association. It has a great website where you can put in your location or your city, and it'll give you a therapist in your area. Now, all these people would have belonged to the AMTA, but they will give you information like what techniques they specialize in, what kind of education they've had. It'll even give you their schedules, and it even has a map location. So these people will be licensed, but will also give you a little more detail about what types of massage they do. Massage therapy is licensed in most states, so you can always check your state board to make sure somebody is in good standing. As far as the therapists themselves, they may have a lot of experience, and that's great, but you also may just not have a lot of resources in your area, so you may just have to be the advocate for yourself and know your body and find a therapist that will work with you. Because sometimes you're the person educating the massage therapist about the multiple sclerosis itself.
Okay. And you mentioned, you know, it would list the types of massage that they do. That leads me to my next question. There's all different types of massage, obviously, but what specific types and styles are best for people with MS? And does it matter what type of MS they have or how long they've had it?
So that's kind of multifaceted. There's no one type of therapy that someone with MS can't get. So you'll see things listed like neuromuscular therapy or Swedish massage or craniosacral massage. And quite frankly, there's not a lot of study that says one is better than the other. Things I would tell you to avoid depending on how your body reacts is things like hot stone massage, or some therapists even heat their tables, so that might be just something they need to modify when you come in, especially if you know you have poor reactions to heat. If they're going to work very deeply, I would tell them to maybe avoid or really go cautiously in any place that you're insensate or you're numb, because you may not be able to give the therapist enough feedback about how deeply they're working. So it's not that they can't work deeply, but they need to probably take it a little slowly and see how your body's reacting, see what you can feel and you can't feel. So those are some things that you would just want to be cautious of as the patient. As far as, are you newly diagnosed, or have you had MS for a while, it's not so much the type of MS you have, so there's nothing specific that if I have progressive, I want to do this, I have relapsing, I want to do this. It's more about assessing your body and what you need. So someone who is up in ambulatory may have very different needs than someone who spends a lot of time in a wheelchair. So other muscles may be tighter if you're sitting all day. If you're walking and having foot drop, you may need a different area of focus on your body. There are a few things that you want to be cautious with medically if you want to either get doctor's clearance or make sure that you're okay to get a massage, and that would be if you have a blood clot in a certain area or a history of clots and you're not sure if it's cleared, you'd want to clear that with your physician before they worked in that area. Any kind of acute fracture, if you have severe osteoporosis, the therapist needs to know that. If you have any open wounds, if you have a fever going on, if you have blood pressure that's uncontrolled, if you're considered a high-risk pregnancy, And you'd also want the therapist to probably avoid your injection sites for the probably at least the first 24 hours. But there is no data out there that says that massage has a positive or a negative effect on exacerbation. And so one tidbit of advice I have is, you know, the internet is can be great. It can also be give you a lot of false information. So, you know, I came across something that a therapist said, if you work the muscle too deeply, you will create heat and cause a flare. That's not true. So the person writing this article really probably doesn't understand MS, doesn't understand what a true exacerbation is versus pseudo-exacerbation. So that's why I just kind of leave it to the person to make sure the person you're working with has either educated themselves correctly or you're educating them about it. But there is no evidence either way, just like exercise, that if you do massage or exercise, it's going to cause an exacerbation. So that's just something you may need to educate the massage therapist if they've also received false information from the internet.
So I guess what would be the top two questions that if you had MS, you would recommend someone ask a masseuse before going to them? Is there something,
I think the top things I would ask is, are you comfortable treating me? Because people have different levels of experience. Some people maybe have only worked in a spa and only done spa massage. Some people are very clinically focused and are very comfortable with people of different abilities. And then it depends on really finding a therapist that is flexible. Maybe, you know, are you willing to adjust positions? Are you willing to adjust treatment times? If you're in a wheelchair, is there a place accessible? Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people may not feel comfortable at first, but you just need to find somebody that's willing to work with you and kind of develop that relationship with them as you see them for multiple sessions.
I think that that's great advice. And if you mentioned something about injection sites, so I'm just curious, would massage make that better or worse? You said to avoid it at 24 hours after, but if I came...
They're generally telling you to avoid it for the first 24 hours, and I guess especially if you have an area that gets a little inflamed when you inject. And it's not that they can't work over that at some other time, but it just may be more irritating to you.
Okay. But people do report that they're sore and you know, their injection areas. So can massage help improve that as well or help it?
I would say you just need to be cautious when they're working over that area and see how your body reacts.
Okay.
You know, you could have a reaction where if the therapist works very deeply, maybe that's going to inflame the area more. If she does some other techniques, it might actually reduce it. So all those things I mentioned, like DVT and osteoporosis, those are just things to be cautious of. It doesn't mean that you cannot get massage. It's just something that you need to make sure that the therapist is aware of so
okay.
they can adjust around it.
Okay, good point. And are there any patients for whom it's likely that massage will not be beneficial? You definitely went over kind of if you have high blood pressure and all of those. So basically, those should be their checkpoints, and we can list those on the website of the precautionary measures and things. But is there anybody else that you would recommend that it's not beneficial for?
I mean, I may have a little skewed view because I've even worked with people on ventilators. So it's really about how comfortable the therapist is and clearance from the doctor if
okay.
they feel like they need it. I can't tell you that there's never going to be a negative effect for somebody. I can tell you that the people that I've worked on, no one has had a negative reaction. But at the same time, you know, not everybody has a huge positive reaction. So, yeah, they feel better, but a massage is expensive, and you have to decide where you're going to spend your money. So if it makes me feel great, I may spend and do a multiple sessions on it. And if it makes me feel okay, but, you know, there are other things that I could do that make me just fine, but people may choose to do something besides massage. So, that, you know, you have to be honest that there is a monetary component to it, and generally massage is not covered by insurance, and it can be expensive depending on where you live.
And how expensive is it? Well, I mean, depending on where you live, what is a range that people could expect?
It really varies throughout the country. And, you know, this is why we also need more studies, because it's generally not covered by insurance. Sometimes if you have, like, work comp or you have an auto claim, some of your insurance will pay for it, but it's also often thought as a luxury. And it can vary from $40 an hour to $100 an hour, depending on where you live in the country and what the market's like. Mm-hmm. So the more competition, obviously, you'll have a little bit more price reduction. The other thing I was going to mention is if you have a large insurance company, something like Aetna or Cigna, a lot of them will have contracts with therapists to provide their members with reduced rates. So if you, say, have Blue Cross Blue Shield, it's worth giving them a call to see if they have a list of therapists that will offer reduced rates. So they don't bill your insurance, but if you go to the therapist and present your Blue Cross Blue Shield card, they will give you a reduced rate.
Hmm. And you are a physical therapist, which is physical therapy typically is covered, correct? And also a massage therapist. So if someone can find someone like you that can do both, is there a way that they can come to you for physical therapy, but you can combine it with massage?
You can combine it. They will not pay just for straight hour of massage and bill it as physical therapy. So if you're using massage as part of your therapeutic treatment, mm-hmm. Let's say someone's arm is very stiff and I know the muscles of their rotator cuff really need massage. I can integrate that as part of my treatment for, say, 15 or 20 minutes of my treatment on top of exercise and stretching and other things I'm going to do as a physical therapist, and that would be covered. But you can never go to a physical therapist and just get a massage for an hour.
Right.
That will not be covered, unfortunately.
So Aetna, I've heard that we interviewed somebody for yoga last week that specializes in yoga for MS, and they said that Aetna covers sometimes yoga as well. So for those of you out there that are lucky enough to be covered by Aetna, it sounds like that might be a good insurance company to go with if you have MS.
The best thing for people to do is actually either call their insurance company, or a lot of times they'll list their providers online, so they'll give them a link to tell them which therapist would be, you know, in their system.
Okay. And so what other online, you've mentioned a few online resources throughout this interview, but what other online resources should people go to, whether it be articles or information about massage therapy? We can post them on the site, but are there many out there that people should definitely, are the top three things that they should read?
I would definitely cite again the AMTA massage website, and that's amtamassage.org. If you're really interested in the research part of it, I would check out the Massage Foundation.
Okay.
Or PubMed if you really want to look at some of the massage research that's out there. And again, if you're looking in the internet, I would just caution you to see who's written the article. Is it a peer-reviewed article? Is it in a magazine like a massage magazine? Is it in an MS magazine? And just make sure that things that you're reading have been kind of double-checked by someone.
Yeah, and that's the whole point of these radio shows, Healthcare Journey Radio, is to kind of clarify all of that. So maybe offline I can get some of those links from you and we can post them right online so that people are going to the appropriate place. So what about people who may have a loved one that or a family member that has multiple sclerosis? What would they do if they wanted to? Can they somehow become enough of a masseuse since it's not covered by insurance or learn enough about massage that they can help this person?
There are a lot of resources out there. I mean, if you go to Amazon now, you would probably see 20 titles of self-taught massage techniques, you know, everything from like Reiki to Swedish massage. So there's a lot of resources out there. I would suggest if you were to purchase a book or a program that it maybe come with a video demonstration, because that's a little bit easier to learn, rather than just a textbook. So there are some that also come with videos. And the other thing is sometimes if it's just one or two things, I mean, you have to be respectful of the massage therapist and her profession, but let's say your loved one has this one trigger point in their shoulder, and every time they go to the therapist, she's able to get it out. She may be willing to just show you that one technique so that they could stay pain-free in between her sessions. So a lot of therapists are willing to do that if it's just something very specific and easy to teach you. So it's worth asking for that also.
Great.
I don't have any problem doing with that. And I'm sure other therapists don't either.
Okay. And you mentioned that there is an online how-to or something. Is that what you said? or a book?
There are many books.
Yeah. So is there one that's better?
There's probably over 20 titles on how to learn massage if you went to Amazon even.
And what would you we can do this offline, but is there one off the top of your head that you can think of that is reputable that people could go to?
There are a few. It really depends on what modality they're interested in. So there are a lot of different modalities for massage. So are they interested in Swedish? Are they interested in, you know, more of a craniosacral technique? So I can give you a couple titles depending on what they're interested in.
Okay, great. And for, if you were to meet someone that had just been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, what would you, just because you've seen so many patients come through your doors, what are the top things, just in general, as a physical therapist and as a massage therapist, that you would recommend people do to have the best health outcomes that they possibly can?
Well, it's pretty obvious, but obviously keep moving any way you can. I think that I don't have MS, but I can see that it sometimes can be a stressful disease because you don't know what's coming next. So if you can use massage or meditation or any other techniques to help not only physically reduce the stress on your body, but mentally, I think that's very helpful to your overall well-being.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's just really about staying active and about whatever active means to you. It doesn't have to be a massage every 6 weeks or a, you know, specific exercise routine. It's really about trying to keep your body moving and flexible and keeping your stress down.
And I know you said that it's, you know, it's pretty obvious, but it really, from the feedback that we get on our website, it's not so obvious that people keep moving because, mm-hmm. and my guess, I don't have multiple sclerosis either, but from what people are saying, it sounds like there's so much fatigue and so much stress involved with the disease that the thought of moving more than what they're already trying to achieve in just daily life is sometimes overwhelming. So it's great to hear you, that's something I think that needs to be put the message out there that it's not something, as fatigued as you may be, you really need to keep moving in whatever way, as Chris said, that you can. So I think that's great advice for everyone. So Chris, is there anything that I've missed or that you think people should know that has to do with massage therapy or that, that something online that the Shepherd Center has that people could go to find out more?
I think I'll just add a few things. As far as back to finding a therapist, there's a lot of flexibility, but asking more questions and just people, things that you may encounter out in the community is that maybe the massage therapist is not very knowledgeable about, like, doing transfers or helping you be positioned on the table. So mm-hmm. you may want to bring a caregiver or a family member for that if the therapist is not comfortable. And they also will not generally help you, like, dress and undress. So that is something just to consider. A lot of people are fine with that as long as you bring somebody to help you with that. The other thing, option, is they can work through your clothing. They can work with you in the chair. And those are other options that you can explore with them. I just want people to be aware of that. You don't always need to be undressed for them to work on you. The other thing I would just say is that, massage has been around for a very long time, but it hasn't been studied for a very long time. And I like to say massage is, half science and half art, and that's part of the reason that you're not going to find a lot of data on it. So when we're doing our study here, it's a controlled study, so we're doing the same routine for the same amount of strokes, for the same amount of time, and the same position because it needs to be studied and reproducible. And that's not really how massage works in the real world. So there are people that in the community will experience the same massage every single week. So if I have Jane come in and I say, oh, her pecs were really tight last week, I'm going to work on that again. But you come into a massage therapist and you say, my legs are really hurting today, then the therapist is going to change her plan and should be flexible and willing to change her plan. And that's kind of the difference between what you'll see in a study and you'll see in the real world. And it's the same thing if she's working on a specific muscle. She may decide, you know, this muscle really needs some extra attention today, so she may spend a little more time on this. That's not going to be an option in a study. So I just want you to know that what you may read in studies is going to be a little bit different than what you're going to experience in the real world.
And so when will this study that you're conducting be completed?
We will be done with our subjects. I believe the last one is in the end of July.
Okay. And so then, do you know of any other studies going on in the country right now? If someone was interested in joining a study for massage therapy, is there anything going on that they are recruiting right now that they could join?
Not my knowledge. So the Massage Foundation's focus is to look at a lot of different special populations. So you'll see studies there that, you know, they did a study on people with burns or people with head injuries. But I am not personally aware of any current massage studies going on in MS. As you can imagine, our list filled very quickly.
Yes. And so with the outcome, I'm assuming it's really positive.
We're still collecting the data, but we specifically looked at kind of quality of life measurements of pain management and of spasticity and then the effects on the person's fatigue. It is not statistically analyzed at this point, but I can tell you that the general feedback is positive.
And so if you were to find dramatic improvements in all the quality of life measurements that you've included in the study, would you end up having, can that data, how far away are we, basically, is my question, from having it approved by insurance companies?
Oh, I wish one study would change their mind, but that's not generally how it works. It usually has to be a plethora above and beyond for them to try to justify that. So I'm not an insurance expert by any means, but, it's something that it is definitely a focus, and we're trying to get more studies on board. I do see a little bit of softening in the insurance industry. So 20 years ago, they wouldn't offer you a discount or do anything. So I do see them slowly opening up to some of the alternative and complementary therapies. It may be slow, but it is happening.
Great. Well, this has been very helpful. I hope that all of our listeners out there have gotten some great information from this. We will be posting all of the information that we discussed, links to the different types of massage, to the different resources, different studies on healthcarejourney.com. So just go to www.healthcarejourney.com to find out. And Chris, thank you so much for your time and for sharing with us all this knowledge that you've accumulated over all these years. So thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye.